Thank you. We'd like to call the Joint Committee, House and Senate, Transportation Finance Division, to order. We don't have... Are we on? Did the page turn that on?
We're on now.
This is the Joint House and Senate Transportation Finance Division, and today we're happy to have the Commissioner here, and also we're going to get a report from MnDOT basically on the update on the bridge, road, and transit programs. And thank you for coming. I'll let you introduce your staff, Commissioner McFarland. Appreciate you being here. And Senator Murphy, if you notice how we line up, I'm on the right, Murphy's on the left.
Because we know who the loser of the two is.
Anyhow, thank you, Commissioner, for coming.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate it. Is this one working very well? I can speak real loud, but only for a while. That might be a little bit better?
Yep, perfect.
Thank you very much. I have with me, I'm Bob McFarland, by the way, Acting Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Transportation, for the record. I have sitting with me Tim Hinkle, who is Division Director for our Programming Division. Close enough. Mr. Chairman, thank you for holding this hearing, this joint hearing today. And as you know, this is a request and an offer that we had made to the committees and the chairman to come together and do what we consider to be a check-in with the committee on the implementation of the new transportation funding law. Before I get started, though, I want to take the opportunity to compliment the work of the MnDOT staff, those that are here that can answer questions as we go along, those throughout the state. They have put in a tremendous, extraordinary effort since February 25th, when this bill became law, to analyze the bill, identify projects, work with our districts, start to put principles and actions and work plans together, and to bring us to where we are today, which I'm very excited about. I want to make sure that you know how much work that they have done, how much it is appreciated by me, and they've really been doing a tremendous job in looking for ways to invest this bill. We are very confident at MnDOT that we are going to accomplish great things with the resources in this bill, that it's going to be good for the state's infrastructure, and that it is going to be good for the citizens of Minnesota. It is very important, and I think as I've met with many of you over the course of the last several weeks, and I know some legislators have even joined us in some of our internal meetings at MnDOT, it's very important to set realistic expectations about this bill. We're going to do really good things with this bill. But we have to set expectations, measure to those expectations, and that's going to serve the state and serve the citizens. I'm going to run through our PowerPoint presentation. What we're going to tell you today, we're going to talk about four areas: the financial analysis around the bill, the investment principles that we have drawn up and are using to guide our work in this bill, the near-term advanced investments that MnDOT announced last week, give you a summary of those, and then give you a status on our long-term planning efforts around the bill. And again, our goal today is to share information with the two committees and actually get your feedback. We want very much to be in sync with the legislature and these two committees in how we're moving forward in developing and delivering this bill. First and foremost, I want to some of you who may have served on the TKEG committee of the end of last year and early this year might recognize this budget authority issue that we were dealing with in the wake of the 35W bridge collapse and the federal funds that were provided. This bill restored the 2008 budget authority that we had requested through from the legislature. And most importantly, it really restores our previously planned construction program for this fiscal year, for fiscal year 08, and really helps in our construction program, our base program in fiscal year 09. And it's going to provide us with a very strong contract letting schedule for the next few months this spring. Both of projects that we will get under contract yet this fiscal year before July 1st, and those that are the early let award type projects that we will let this before July 1st and award after July 1st for construction. So I just wanted to run through that very quickly and thank you for restoring that budget authority and putting our program on such a strong footing for this spring. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to spend some time on this chart because I wanted to give the committees an idea of how MnDOT is analyzing the fiscal impact of the bill. And I'll try and go through this quickly. In the top line of this particular chart, we show our estimates of the increased revenue provided to the Trunk Highway Fund. And again, this is focused on the Trunk Highway Fund from the implementation of this bill. And these are the revenues from the gas tax increases, the tab fee increases, and a little bit from the revenue on the leased vehicle, sales tax on leased vehicles. And so as you see, the 10-year estimate of increased revenue or increased cash to the Trunk Highway Fund, again, does not include revenues in that bill that were related to counties, cities, or transit, adds up to about $2.6 billion over the 10-year period of fiscal year 09 to 18. Now, out of that, yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Mr. McFarland, is that plus or minus the bond appropriations that are on the bottom line? Well, the bond, as you know, Mr. Chairman, the bond appropriations are not revenue. The bonding is a way of spending revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So we note the bond appropriations at the bottom of the chart because those bond appropriations are a very important tool in spending the revenue that you see on the top line. But it's the way the bonding is structured that allows us to accelerate projects. Then we get in below the revenue line, we get into some of the uses that were mandated in the bill. First and foremost, there was $41 million a year appropriation in the bill for infrastructure operations and maintenance. That was, again, appropriated in fiscal year 09. We have, in our analysis, carried that forward as a base appropriation to that area of our budget. Those dollars will fund such activities as increased snow and ice operations, bridge inspection and maintenance activities such as those that were recommended, extra activities recommended by the legislative auditor's report, safety and traffic operations, and in-house pavement preservation activities. We have created a working group in-house that is executing a process with our districts to identify the highest priority and the greatest uses for those internal resources, and I'd be happy as we get into our longer-term planning to describe some of those efforts in greater detail. The next line is $34 million. That's an appropriation in the bill for fiscal year 09 for infrastructure investment and support, otherwise known as program delivery. That is also carried forward into our base in the out years. That appropriation will fund, very obviously, the increased activities to deliver the larger program that we will have as a result of the other resources in the bill, both internal efforts to deliver that program and external efforts through consultants and the like. The specifics in programming those dollars and those resources are also being addressed by the working group that is taking a look at those resources and those appropriations. The next line is the debt service for bonds. That line is an estimate of debt service on an annual basis that's calculated by the Department of Finance based on the bonding appropriations that are in the law and how they play out, and a modeling of bonding expenditures related to our programming. Now, the thing I can tell you about that line and those numbers is those numbers are wrong. They're the best estimate that we have at the moment, mm-hmm. as we're doing our modeling, but those will certainly change. Those estimates will change as we get more specifically into identifying projects that we're going to be building, what their financial plans are, when they can be delivered and the like. But again, working with the Department of Finance and matching the appropriations in the bill, that's our best estimate of the debt service for the bond. There is also a $4 million annual appropriation that was in the bill to the State Patrol from these resources to help them fund 40 additional troopers. The next line represents the shift in resources that was in the bill from the Trunk Highway Fund to the county and municipal turnback account to fund turnback projects. This shift, of course, is mandated in law. I want to make one point about that line. From an accounting standpoint, that mandate in the law was a shift in resources away from the Trunk Highway Fund, which, of course, is the subject of this chart. But the resources on that line will still be used for improvements to trunk highways, either before, which is generally the case, or immediately after those trunk highway miles are turned over to local units of government. So they're being used for road improvements, just from an accounting standpoint, coming from a different account from the Trunk Highway Fund. That leaves, Mr. Chairman, let me get my notes here straight. Net available in cash available for other purposes. Those purposes would be such as maintaining and restoring MnDOT's fund balance, the 8% fund balance that is part of our financial management policies and were referenced by the legislative auditor. The other principal thing we're looking at with those cash resources is just building more projects. One of the questions we have with respect to our fund balance is, and we put this to this committee for discussion and consideration, is we could go immediately towards and try and restore that 8% fund balance level as quickly as possible, which would use up more cash resources early, or we could feather it a bit over time and get there a little bit more gradually and free up a little bit more cash on the front end to do some certain things.
Excuse me, Commissioner, I have a couple questions. Representative Morrow.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at the net available for other uses line.
Yeah.
And in another piece of legislation, the government proposed funding a new computer system for public safety as a trunk highway fund. Would we then subtract $12 million from each of the four lines, or is that in a different area?
Representative Morrow, could you use the mic?
To repeat the question or to summarize it, the governor has a proposal to pay for the DVS computer system with trunk highway funds. Would we subtract $12 million from each of the 4 years' lines under this area, or does that come from a different part of trunk highway funds?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Morrow, that's a very good question, and you are correct. Whether it would be that computer system or whether it would be victim fund or any of the other proposals out there that would propose to use trunk highway cash resources for some purpose would come off of that line, would affect that line and would affect our ability to do other things.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was curious about the $52 million on the fund balance line. In the second year, why don't you feather that in, put $20 million in there, and spend another $32 million on trunk highways or something else so we get some real action on what we're doing?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Earhart, that line is a line of total net. It does not represent a decision to use all of those resources for rebuilding the fund balance. It would be from those resources that we would potentially draw necessary resources to put the fund balance at a particular level. But what I hear you saying, Representative, is in your mind feathering in towards our fund balance level and providing more cash resources for some projects in years would be acceptable to you, and that's certainly something we consider. But that $52 million in that line is not all dedicated to fund balance. That's not what that is. It's for fund balance or other uses.
Well, Mr. Chairman, what I'm seeing is that we ought to get as much building out there as possible in the front end here, so that we let the people know that all those that are still screaming might get their potholes filled.
Understand what you're
saying. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. McFarland. I guess the question I have is related to that is, what is how much are we short in that fund balance that we have to feather it in? What's the dollar figure?
Kevin, I'm going to ask Kevin Gray, our Chief Financial Officer, who's prepared to answer that question.
Well, he's coming, Commissioner. Again, I think we had people come in. Again, if you'd reiterate, this is the new monies in addition to the normal monies that you
spend on this. We've tried, Mr. Chairman, just to be really clear and for hopefully simplicity, our entire discussion today is related to nothing but the resources provided in the new law.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Gray.
Thank you, Chair Leader and members. For the record, Kevin Gray, Chief Financial Officer from MnDOT. I think you both stole my thunder before I got up here. The highlight of the commentary was that this is reflective of the new revenues from the new transportation bill, and therefore it's over and above our existing forecast. As we look at our current forecast, barring issues such as Representative Morrow brought up, the $12 million potentially as a direct appropriation for the DBS information system, we're looking at, with the new bill factored in, that our fund balances, our budgetary fund balances, are much closer to our targeted fund balance reserve levels than they were prior to the bill passage. As we work through the details, I think that we'll see that indeed we'll have an option to not direct all or even maybe a significant portion of the $52 million that's being questioned towards fund balance. It is something from a chief financial officer's perspective, though, to hear the commissioner and hear this committee talking about having a fund balance reserve, being at least sensitive to that need to have some ability to react to unexpected revenue declines or unexpected expenditure increases. That's great to hear, but I think that we're fast approaching our targeted fund balance level, and that indeed, as Commissioner McFarland stated, we'll have some opportunity to feather maybe heavily some of that $52 million into new expenditures and new purposes as appropriated by the legislature in the future.
President Nelson, did that answer your question? He didn't catch it.
I don't think that it was a good answer, but sounds like a good politician. But what's the dollar, bottom line dollar figure? How much do we need to increase to get to the 8% fund balance that we talked about? What's the dollar amount? That's what I'm looking for.
Mr. Chair and members, approximately, depending upon, it fluctuates each year, but for 2009, I think we would be looking in the range of anywhere from $10 to $15 million. I would have to put the numbers a bit there, but again, the key point being that we are much closer to that targeted level of, and I'll give you an example for our budgetary statements in fiscal 09. State revenues are in the range of $850 million, call it $900 million, that would be $75 million. We're somewhere close to that $65 to $75 million range in our budgetary fund statements currently. So I think that we're approaching that number each year as the state revenues increase with the bill phase in, or as the surcharges and the other revenue streams increase, that number will go up a bit, and so it would need to be recalculated. But we are approaching that, and I think we would have the opportunity again to feather in just a portion of that $52 million to achieve that goal. And I think we have some discretion if we're getting closer to the goal to say whether we have to be right at that point or not.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Along the same line, Mr. Gray, we've had several discussions about the fund balance in the past. And I think you know what my feelings are, and I do believe that this plan that the commissioner is talking about here, Mr. Gray, does reflect kind of where our discussions were headed in the past, and that was to build that fund balance up, not all at once,
right,
because then those numbers at that the north end of that line, there's more zeros up there than $14 million being spent here or 41 over there. And I think that as long as the fund balance continues to increase over the next few years, then we can legitimately project that we are going to be at that $70 to $100 million range in the near future. I'm really comfortable with, with this approach, kind of an incremental approach to get back to financial stability.
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, that is indeed the path that we're on, and that our current February modified budgetary fund forecasts are showing that increase and that the fund balance is growing in towards in that range.
Good. Commissioner, do you want to continue? Did you have a question?
I think. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last line on this particular chart simply reflects the bond appropriations as they are reflected in the bill. And let's take this to the next slide. Describing the bond appropriation, the bill's total transportation bond appropriation is $1.84 billion. Of that amount, they're down at the bottom. $50 million were general obligation bonds for local roads and bridges. So the trunk highway portion of that bonding total is $1.78 billion. And it is broken down in this fashion, as you can see there. For state road construction, there is a set aside for the Great River Road. Nearly $25 million is for the Urban Partnership Agreement. Nearly $24 million for the Mankato headquarters building. $8.5 million for the Chaska truck station. $2 million for design efforts for the Rochester and Maple Grove stations. And those items add up to the $1.78 billion. There were also two trunk highway bond appropriations that were not part of the transportation section of the bonding bill, and that was the $18 million to the Department of Administration in trunk highway bonds for the MnDOT exterior building, and about $1.8 million to the Department of Finance in trunk highway bond revenue for bond expenses. In the state road construction bond, breaking it down further, we see that there are a total for the state road construction program is about $1.72 billion. Of that amount, there's $50 million set aside for transit advantages. And this is a program that we are very excited about. This is a mirror of a program that was very successful in 2003 with the 2003 bonding package, where MnDOT and the Metropolitan Council got together and found ways to spend trunk highway bonds on transit improvements in trunk highway corridors. We are working with the Metropolitan Council and other stakeholders on this program. We've already started that work. To identify projects not just in the metropolitan area, but to see if there are eligible projects in greater Minnesota to use those funds. And we're very pleased with the success of this program. These bonds buy things like additional park and ride lots that are right in trunk highway right of way, or rebuilding shoulders for bus lanes. Those types of improvements to trunk highways that serve transit advantages. Also there is $40 million set aside for what we call the interchange program. $20 million of that is dedicated to the metropolitan area, $20 million to greater Minnesota. And that particular appropriation or set aside is to invest in interchanges that represent or provide economic development, congestion relief, traffic safety, and jobs. And we have talked about that program with Senator Murphy and Representative Leader and some of you in the discussions that I've had. And we are putting together a program to start to identify criteria and potential projects to use those funds. We've actually, and as I will mention later, we've actually already found one project to use those funds, and it's been used to accelerate a project. Then, of course, there's the bridge
Excuse me, Commissioner. Representative Earhart. had a question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, we were talking about interchange of 169 and 494, which would eat up the whole $40 million plus there. Is that the kind of interchange you're talking about?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Earhart, that is an interchange that's probably a little bit too large for this program, I think, and I would welcome feedback from the committees here on this. Our vision, and in talking with the chairman about this, is to invest be able to invest in a lot of interchanges around there where they're serving communities' economic development goals, or there might be a project going in, there might be a development that needs maybe not an interchange fully funded by the state, but this provides a little bit of state, for lack of a better term, some skin in the game to help an interchange or an intersection along to achieve some economic development goals for that community. And I would maybe ask Senator Murphy to address this because I know this is of particular interest to him.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the question, in our discussions with Chairleader and House members and some Senate members, we felt that this pot of money was a very valuable tool to help those projects where they're in their initial stages, they're looking at how they're going to pay for this huge cost of this piece of infrastructure, but also keeping an eye on what the commissioner talked about was the jobs and the economic opportunity in that immediate area. And as we do developments any place in the state, everybody knows that everybody that comes to the table is going to have a little skin in the game. And when we do projects that are on county roads to help a development project, say a housing development, the developer is normally asked to pay for some of the cost of the infrastructure. That's the way we've been doing business in our state for years. And in our discussions with the commissioner, we didn't write it so tight into law that they wouldn't be able to use the money. We wanted to leave a little bit of flexibility there. And I believe the commissioner is on the right track when he's talking about, and this is what we foresaw too, is to be able to use this in different places around the state just so that there's not one interchange in your neck of the woods and one in mine being funded. Let's try and spread it around because there's all kinds of projects, and whether it's the project that I'm most familiar with, the Elk Run project, or the project that the city of Belle Plaine has going on, or the Devil's Triangle. We want to make sure that there's a little bit of this money available to help with some of these costs so that the locals aren't overburdened in their share. And, I appreciate the way that at least the first rollout of this money is being let.
Representative Earhart, were you talking specifically, is that the Devil's Triangle?
No, I was talking, Mr. Chairman, 169 and 494. We were just looking at the plans for that. I think it was yesterday, and that's anywhere from 30, 40 million on up to twice that, depending on the design plan.
I think, Commissioner, you'll be addressing that as you come along, these other types specifically.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes, Mr.
Okay. Representative Kalin had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think to Senator Murphy's point, and I think to your point as well, Acting Commissioner, or at the mic. I hope that certainly the initial conversations I've had with the many talented staff and planners at MnDOT about needs at the edge of the metro were about the $40 million interchange pot improvement dollars. Looking at those communities where there's been anticipatory bonding to advance projects, where the city, the county, and even the feds have some skin in the game, and we've been just waiting for this infusion of cash there. And I certainly hope that that's obviously the North Branch Bridge being one project. I think that hopefully, as we speak, the technical correction bill is moving through the Senate right now, the U.S. Senate. But I think that would be a prime use of those dollars, where jobs are waiting, and where that everyone else has put their skin in the game, and now we have MnDOT ready to step up to the plate a few years earlier than scheduled, but a few years later than, of course, the locals always want it as soon as we can. I don't know if that matches your vision, Acting Commissioner. Or
well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Kalin, there are still more projects such as the one you described than this particular pot of money will fund, and we will have it'll be a fun challenge. It'll be a positive challenge. We'll have a challenge of identifying the best and the top, you know, best projects around the state, and try and help as many as possible get to fruition with this funding. And the one you described at the North Branch is a real good example of one of those types of projects that would greatly compete for these funds. We're still in just the initial stages after kind of getting through some of the short-term investment planning that you'll hear about in just a few minutes. We're just kind of at the beginning of identifying further criteria and processes for assessing and competing projects for these funds. But the type you just described is exactly the type that we'll be looking at.
Senator DeDibble? Did you have a follow-up? Representative Kalin, did you have a follow-up?
I did not.
No. Senator DeDibble?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Back up to the transit. No, on the same page. Transit advantages. Ms. Parker approached me a few weeks ago and said, "Well, we want to work cooperatively and understand what your intention was." And my answer was, "Go forth and do good. We don't earmark." I appreciate the comments you made. We're looking statewide, you know, not just in the metro area, and I completely agree with that. That's great. But since then, something did occur to me. It seems that one of the major weaknesses of the urban partnership agreement in running the buses up and down the corridor is at Lake Street, buses are going to have to cross over, you know, traffic, and then cross back and get back into the flow. So I think there might be some opportunities, especially now that New York has failed in their urban partnership agreement deadlines, that maybe there's some additional resources that might be out there. I don't know if they're going to make those resources available to the other urban partnership grantees or not. I have no idea. But if there are opportunities to match additional federal dollars into the urban partnership agreement, you might have an opportunity there. I mean, not that I'm suggesting an earmark or saying this absolutely, but people are looking for ideas. There's an idea right there. We've got the Lake Street exchange of transit service that's anticipated. You've got that shoulder that kind of evaporates. You've got the outside shoulder that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense southbound. And so there's some ideas. Right? But I like, you know, focus on Greater Minnesota Transit Advantages and do what we can. I think that was one of the big ideas in that.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, it is a good idea, and it's one of them that I know the Met Council is looking at, along with many other investments. We are looking at ways to bolster the UPA with this funding. I will say it is our understanding, you are correct, that the city of New York, I think, lost $350 million in UPA funds just recently by the failure of their legislature to approve the policy items and the plan that supported the UPA. It is our understanding that the feds are going to take that money and roll it into their second solicitation that they have previously announced and make it available within that solicitation, which will make it difficult for our area to get at that fund because we're already a winner. But we'll check further into that.
Right. Representative Medor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Acting Commissioner Garland. I have two things. First, the transit advantages. Is that dealing with the freedom dollars that are going out into Greater Minnesota to expand ADA accessibility, or
Representative or Mr. Chairman, Representative Medor? No.
No. Okay.
There's a different pot of money.
Okay, I was just wondering because I didn't know if that was covered in that. Mr. Chair, just one more. Following up with Senator Dibble, and of course, as I'm sure you've been reading in the paper, our Apple Valley, Lakeville, Farmington issue with the UPA dollars, and hopefully we will not be a legislature that's unable to come to agreement on that. What are the plans for you with regard to helping along the shoulder? Because if we have to stop that line in Burnsville, that is a redesign of what we originally put in for that UPA request. So are there plans now coming up with, will we be able to use some of those dollars for new turnarounds? My understanding is if we have to start or end that line in Burnsville, that there will have to be some accommodation to get back onto the online transitway. So will we be able to use some of those dollars there again to start or end the line in Burnsville, since Lakeville and Farmington may not join the taxing district and therefore we won't be delivering services?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Madore, I know we are looking with the Met Council, we are looking at using some of these resources in this account for supplementing and the UPA in that very south area. I don't know if they're going to address the concerns you have. The Met Council is having a discussion with the City of Lakeville about some of those investments. But we believe they would be eligible for these funds if we can pull all the stakeholders together.
Thank you.
Commissioner, are we kind of interrupting you?
This is the kind of discussion we truly wanted with the committee, Mr. Chairman. This is really good. Finally, of course, there's a line there on the bridge program, and that's really the major linchpin of the entire bill, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But there's $600 million, a little bit more than a third of the dollars available for the Trunk Highway Fund. As a minimum, is set aside in this fashion for achieving the bridge repair and replacement goals that are mandated in the law. And like I said, I'll be addressing that a little bit more later. There's also an estimate of the bonding that will be necessary to meet the directive related to the investment in MnDOT District 7. That's an estimate of $70 to $150 million, and we're working on scoping and programming that particular directive in the bill. That leaves an amount of bonding that we have termed roughly unrestricted at approximately $918 million. And the uses of those unrestricted bonds or undirected bonds will be guided by the investment principles that I'm just about to discuss with you. I want to make one note about that note on the bottom about program delivery. When, as has been the case in previous bonds, the legislature indicated that 17% of the bond revenues could be used for program delivery. That's kind of a standard calculation that we use to help deliver projects. I will tell you, it is our hope, and we are working to attempt to use far less of the bonding resources for program delivery than the 17% indicates, so we can put more of the bond resources into actual projects. So you take the combination of the $34 million in program delivery cash that you appropriated that I discussed earlier, along with this 17% that's available, we hope to reduce and use far less than 17% of bond resources for program delivery in combination with the $34 million that you appropriated earlier.
Representative Earhart had a question, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is that $300 million in each of those 2 years, is that spendable in that time, or is that going to go beyond that time, or how is that going to work?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Earhart, very good question. It's likely not spendable in that time. It's set aside and can only be access for bridge projects, but it will be used over the 10-year course of the bill. We will not be spending, I don't believe, $600 million of bonding in fiscal year 9 and 10 for the bridge program, but we will use it for the bridge program overall.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you're going to pick out the bridges that need to be done, just as you have with the Hastings and St. Cloud.
And I will address in our longer-term planning is where I'm going to discuss a little bit of what we're doing with our bridge program.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, now I'd like to talk a few moments about our investment principles. And we right as we got into the effort of planning the bill, we wanted to put together some principles to guide us, principles that we felt were consistent with the guidance and the directive and the legislative intent of the bill. First and foremost, I think we're using these investment principles not just to guide us in the investment of the resources in this bill, in this law. But we believe that they were also a reflection of the legislature's priority for transportation investment. So we're also taking a look at applying these principles to our regular program as well. In terms of the first bullet, honoring our current investment priorities, of course, preservation is MnDOT's top priority, but I do want to state that all of these investment principles we will execute them and follow them in an overall context and an overall philosophy of safety is number one. Safety in everything we do. Safety is almost not a principle, it's a way of doing business for us, it's a culture. Mm-hmm. But along with the preservation investment principle here, it goes along with cost-effective safety and mobility improvements. So we're just going right down the line in bread and butter kinds of investments, preservation of the system, bridge repair and replacement, and safety and congestion improvement. Secondly, complying with our MnDOT financial policy. If you recall in the legislative auditor's report, legislative auditor encouraged us to adopt some draft policies that we have been following over the last few years, but adopt them formally and then construct our program and our budget around those policies. In particular, those policies affect these investments in the areas of fund balance, as we've already discussed, and in the area of debt management as it relates to trunk highway bonding. We've already talked about a bit about the Transit Advantage Funds and are working with the Metropolitan Council to identify Transit Advantage projects and also not only metropolitan area but the rest of the state. We want to ensure as we move forward, one of our principles is that the projects we select and begin to accelerate, this is a goal of ours, and we're going to be working towards it, but they have complete scoping documents and scoping cost estimates. What that really means, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, is we want to have better cost estimates and solid cost estimates for the projects as we move forward so we can maintain faith with our communities and trust with our communities and stakeholders about our cost estimates and our ability to deliver projects. When I was working for Commissioner Jim Benn back in the 90s, we had a little mantra that we like to talk about in our programming and our budgeting, and that is promise only what you can deliver and then deliver what you promise. And that's what this really goes towards, and that is to make sure that we do a good job scoping and budgeting our projects. We're also, in our principles, we're going to meet the commitments that are in our current State Transportation Improvement Plan, otherwise known as the STIP. It covers the years fiscal year 8 and 11, or through 11. Those are projects in that program that we've made commitments to and commitments to communities to deliver, and we are going to deliver on those commitments within this investment program. And then the final principle to address is when we're dealing with the bridge bonds, and like I mentioned, the bridge bonds are really the key to the entire program. We're going to invest those bridge bonds in bridge structures and reasonable or limited approach costs. So we don't use up the bridge bond to build a bridge and then all of the road approach costs associated with that bridge. We're going to have to use other resources, existing resources or other bonding resources to deliver those bridges and their road costs. Because we want to stretch those bridge dollars as far as we can to make sure that we deliver on the mandated bridge repair and replacement goals that are in the bill. Mr. Chairman, that's the end of discussing our investment principles. Our third category I wanted to discuss today.
Before you start, Representative Lador had a question.
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair. Thank you. And again, Acting Commissioner McFarland. I just have one question here before you go on to future projects. I know in Dakota County we have done some advanced construction projects to the tune of, I think, I'm the number I don't have off the top of my head, but I think about $12 million. Is there a plan in your going forward here to address the counties that have done advanced construction projects and retain those loans in an accelerated fashion, or has there been any discussion about addressing that? Because, again, just in my county, I know that that's significant dollar amount.
Mr.
Chairman and Representative Madore, I believe you're talking about dollars that the county would have advanced to make sure Trunk Highway Project continues to advance. We have always maintained that we would repay any dollars that a local unit of government forwards to the state under the law that allows such kinds of financial transactions. And under this plan, we would just continue to repay those funds to those local units of government under the prior agreement, under the years in which those projects would have received dollars from the Trunk Highway Fund. We've not talked about accelerating that repayment.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Chairman, and to kind of add on to that, then Ms. Berezovsky or someone can correct me if I'm wrong here, but there's two places in law that allows MnDOT to pay money back to local jurisdictions, and I think both places are capped at $10 million. Is that okay?
I believe so.
So it's capped statutorily by law. So, and they already, I know in last year's budget they had expended the $10 million, and it would be hard for them to go above that unless we change the law.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Commissioner.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, the first thing we did following February 25th, after talking about investment principles and analyzing the bill, is we wanted to take a look at the near term, and within the context of the legislative intent, and I know the legislature was very interested and having projects out on the street as quickly as possible to not only help the infrastructure but to help the economy. So we were looking quickly at what we could do in the near term to fit the goals of the bill, to fit the infrastructure goals of the bill, and to also deliver projects quickly as possible. So we completed that and announced that publicly, and I know all the members of both committees should have received information about the media packet and the information about that announcement last Thursday, and several of you have projects of particular interest in your area. I was either able to get hold of or talk to on the phone or catch up with later. But we have been able to identify $645 million worth of trunk highway, road, and bridge projects that we are able to now advance from previous schedules into the 2008, 9, and 10 construction season. And those are projects that fit the investment goals of the bill. I hope that they fit the economic stimulus kinds of goals that you had for passing the bill. And we're very pleased, and again, I have to put in a good word for MnDOT staff. There's an awful lot of work that goes into going back into those programs and those project schedules and finding the right projects that are ready to go that can be advanced and use this money. More than 30 projects are part of that three-year package. There were three projects that we were able to advance into the 2008 construction season. It's the replacement project for the Highway 23 DeSoto Bridge in St. Cloud, as we mentioned, the Highway 169 County Road 81 Triangle project in the northwest part of the metropolitan area, and a major road pavement reclamation rebuilding project on Interstate 90 in Olmsted and Maurer County. Also part of the announcement on Thursday, we were able to announce a goal, a very aggressive goal, of getting the Hastings Bridge to construction as early as June of 2010. That is an ambitious goal. It will take good cooperation from all of the local, state, and federal stakeholders and permitting agencies and the Federal Highway Administration, the City of Hastings. We think it's a doable goal. I want to stress the Hastings Bridge is safe, but this is a situation where opportunities made possible by the finances in this bill and an already planned replacement of the Hastings Bridge comes together, and we think we can advance that project into the 2010 time frame.
Senator
Sieben.
Well, I thought she changed your name.
No.
Senator Sieben, excuse me.
Thank you, Chairman Leader and Commissioner McFarland. I just first would like to thank you for agreeing to advance the Hastings Bridge, but also stress the fact that now that this has been announced to the Hastings community, Hastings fully expects and it's very imperative, I would say, that the project does begin construction in 2010. There's been such angst and concern over the bridge as more and more information came out about the condition of it, that this news is certainly welcome, but everyone in Hastings is very committed to working with MnDOT to ensure that construction does begin in 2010. But I just want to also emphasize that it's important that we do work together, especially with our federal partners, to ensure that this can indeed happen, because now the expectation is out there that the construction does begin in 2010.
Now, Mr. Chairman, Senator Sieben, I want to assure you that we would not have made such an announcement if we did not think it was possible, and with the cooperation of all the stakeholders, I do believe we can get there.
And on that same point, Mr. Chair, I want to thank you again, you know, to MnDOT and your staff, Commissioner, for the work you did and for calling to let us know. We really appreciate that. I know the Southeast Metro is very pleased with that. And I don't see this in your bike, trying to ask. With the Lakota Bridge, I was told that after the contract was negotiated and approved that MnDOT may look at some acceleration. And I wonder if you're able to give any update on that, because I know that people in my district, while the bridge is, in South St. Paul, and Senator Sieben is very concerned about it, people who are waiting in line are in my community. So do you have any updates, or is there any hope that project, and I also realize that part of it is an engineering issue, that
sure.
We can't do it in a year, but is there any hope that we might be able to accelerate that now? And also given the fact that hopefully we can recoup some of the funds that were expended on the redesign.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Saltzman, I'll take that as kind of a two-part question. And yes, there is hope. What I can tell you is we are having discussions, our project people, and are having discussions with Lunda about opportunities to accelerate and where we might be able to possibly apply some incentive funds to get certain things done earlier. We share a goal of getting it done earlier. You are correct. It's a matter of sort of engineering and construction staging and available finances, but we are continuing those discussions with Lunda. So we're looking at it. We're hopeful. Secondly, with respect to, we are moving forward with the help of the Attorney General's office and others to recoup as many dollars as we possibly can with respect to that project from the consulting firm that was the source of the error. And that's moving forward in kind of a legal mediation sense.
Senator Murphy, you had a question or comment?
Oh, no.
Okay. Commissioner?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to zero in. One of the parts of our announcement on Thursday was about construction season 2008 in particular. It was something that I was very excited about, especially with respect to the legislature's interest in having this bill provide some type of economic stimulus as quickly as possible. And I do want to point out that with trunk highway projects and other projects in the bill and other directives in the bill, there's about a $216 million economic investment being made into the infrastructure in this state in construction season 2008 that otherwise would not have been. About $96 million in the three trunk highway projects that I talked about. We're going to spend $25 million of the $50 million of the local bridge program on 59 local bridge projects, $5 million for local road projects, that's $5 million from the $10 million. We've got the urban partnership investments in there. We will be able to move forward with about $1 million in some transit investments in this particular construction season. We're estimating about $12 million of in sort of internal MnDOT investment from the investment or infrastructure and operations and maintenance resources that you have appropriated that will take place in construction season 08. And then dropping down a couple of lines there, $42 million in buildings. And let's not lose sight of the buildings that were part of that bill, the Mankato facility that will be start construction this year, and the construction that will begin at the MnDOT-CO headquarters on the exterior, so that sooner than later our MnDOT employees can walk into the building without having to worry about the scaffolding that it's going to hold should something happen. But I just wanted to point that out. We identified $216 million of investments that will take place in the coming months in construction season 2008 as a result of implementing this bill.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to be sure that these facilities, these buildings are built with environmental and energy standards in mind for making best use of our energy resources and all that stuff that Senator Representative Kalin really cares about.
Thank you. You didn't have any comment, I think. It was.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I can't speak expertly at all about the standards that Senator Dibble was talking about. I'm sorry, but I'm sure through the Department of Administration and through our folks letting in their work with our building contracts, that they will meet and comply with state law.
Senator Kalin, Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate not giving me that demotion. Acting Commissioner, I'll give you a little cheat sheet here, a little cheat phrase that you'll have to come in. I believe we'll have to double check. Perhaps our capital investment chair can confirm this, but come in at least 30% more energy efficient than the current energy code as required by state law now. So we're going to be being good stewards of tax dollars and leading the way on reducing carbon emissions and all that stuff, and MnDOT buildings are going to be doing a great job doing that. So, we'll add that to the next slide on the next update.
Okay, Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'll go through these very quickly. We have two slides in your packet. But just break out the trunk highway projects over the next three construction seasons that I mentioned, shows where they are with respect to the metro and greater Minnesota areas and in what season. And then the next one, it also breaks out those 30-some projects in metro and greater Minnesota by the type of project that they are, whether they're bridges or pavement preservation. The safety, capacity, and economic development project you see in this particular slide is the Devil Triangle project, and I will say that we have tapped into the interchange program to provide that project $10 million so we could move it into this particular construction season and accelerate it in that fashion. Then, Mr. Chairman, I would like to move, if I could, to kind of wrap up the presentation and giving you a status update on the long-term planning. We're in the midst of our planning for the longer term, which we primarily define as the 2011 and 2018 period for the purposes of delivering this bill. The linchpin of this entire effort, as I mentioned a couple of times, is the program that's in the bill for repairing and replacing bridges. You will recall that the program calls for classifying all of the state's trunk highway bridges into three categories, tiers 1, 2, and 3. And the law requires that all the bridges that are in the tier 1 and tier 2 classification must be under contract for repair or replacement by June 30th of 2018. We have so far identified approximately 150 bridges that fit into that Tier 1 and Tier 2 category as we're moving forward and looking at delivering this bill. $600 million was a minimum investment or a minimum set aside from the trunk highway bond for this bridge program, and that came out of the $1.7 million in trunk highway bonds in the bill. But as we develop the program, I just want to tell you that it's becoming very clear that to meet the mandates of the bill for the repair and replacement of the bridges in Tier 1, and I think this will come as no surprise, more than $600 million, and probably significantly more than the $600 million of bonds will be needed to execute that program. We're dealing with a lot of bridges, accelerating construction, and a lot of big, important bridges around the state. And that's what you wanted us to do. I think that's appropriate. But just to let you know, and we'll have, as we're going through the building of that program, we'll have more information in coming weeks and months. But $600 million is kind of the minimum, and we will need to use more of that bonding, and probably significantly more of that bonding, to deliver on that mandated bridge program.
Mr. Chairman, members, once again, it's also important to remember that this $600 million is on top of the money that traditionally goes to the bridge program. And I do believe that if, there comes a time, Commissioner, when it looks like the number of projects, and Representative Leader did an excellent job. He went through every piece of paper, every document that you'd ever given us on bridges, and went through and calculated all the costs and which bridge was of what type. He had them all broken into categories. He knows more about this stuff than he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. But he went through this whole process, and that's why we built the bridge portion of the bill around that. But the one thing that we both knew is that there's going to come a day when you're still going to have bridges to fix, and there's not going to be enough money. So, folks, it's important to know that, you know, 5-8 years from now, we're going to have to do this again. We're just going to have to bite down hard on the bullet and do it again, because there's 5-8 years from now, we're going to get to the point where we won't be able to address all the bridges that need to be addressed.
And Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I wanted also to be clear, and you mentioned that we do have money in our regular base program prior to this for bridges, and that money will remain for that purpose. Mm-hmm. We are not using bridge money from this bill to supplant or replace money that we would have used for bridges. This is in addition to those resources. Second, after the bridge program will come our commitment to improve the quality of highways and pavements across the state. This is consistent with our priority to maintain the existing infrastructure in the state, and it's clearly, I believe, consistent with the legislative auditor's report on pavement preservation and his recommendation to us that we invest more in that effort. And I think that was reflected in the legislative debate and legislative intent around the passage of this bill. So we're doing bridges as a top priority, then we're doing pavement preservation and a lot of pavement reclamation and highway repair work all across the state. I think it's very important when you start to take a look, and I've discussed this with many of you, it's very important around this bill to set realistic, clear expectations about what will be accomplished with the bill. And then measure to those expectations. We will accomplish the bridge program as outlined in the bill. We will then take resources and we will invest them in pavement preservation and reclamation and improvement. There are going to be very good things accomplished with the bill on the state level, and I don't want to forget on a county level with transit, with cities and others. But we will not fund everybody's project. It will not fund every project on everybody's wish list or every expansion project that somebody has. We will still have challenges in delivering this bill and meeting everybody's expectations, especially in that area of very large, extensive expansion projects. We will continue to have challenges there, but we will be doing very good things with the resources you've provided. Process and timeline, which you can expect. April 10th, we did the announcement of the advanced project. Today, we're here for our check-in with you. By May 22nd, we plan to have our draft bridge program available for stakeholder and local government comment, and that is a very, very important part of this process. As we think about bridges that we can advance, what do the local communities think about those schedules and those ideas and how they fit into their local community investment plans? Then mid to late June, we'll be in the process of soliciting the non-bridge projects that we can do with the remainder of the resources available from the bill. That would also include our process for transit advantage projects, our process for the interchange projects, as we get those processes a little bit more firmed up. We'll have public outreach meetings during the course of the summer. Then we start to get into, in July and August, or near the end of the summer, we start to get into making some more final determinations and getting them ready to plug into our formal programming decision processes with the Met Council or with the EPPs and our other stakeholders and throughout our districts in the state. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm talking fast and covering a lot of material because that's the good work our staff has done and then not up to this point. I'd be happy to answer any further questions.
Thank you. We have some questions, Commissioner. Representative Lindor.
Yes, thank you again, Mr. Chair, and Acting Commissioner McCollin. I'm wondering two things. I'm really excited about you being able to go back out to the public and talk about the good work that this department wants to do, this agency wants to do. I think that's so incredibly important for you to do. And frankly, I think it's worth more than paying a consultant to do that job for you, having your staff out in the community. If people want to know how to attend these meetings, if they read that their project may be up, how will the members of the public be able to know that a public meeting may be occurring in their community? Where would they go to get that information?
Well, what we generally do, and it's been very successful, just through whether it's in our district or here in Metro, they're generally run by our district, and there may be some broader meetings involved. We don't have all those details figured out, but through news releases, through the use of our website, through other means of contacting stakeholders and stakeholder groups, especially working with local units of government. Say if we would partner with a local city council or a county board on their public notice of meetings and making sure that those kinds of things are all done so the public knows that we're going to be talking about highway projects.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner McFarland, following up on that, is the August 29th date then a firm date for public or presentation, if you will, of the draft investment plan?
Is it a firm date or is it our target right now?
It's kind of a target.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morrow. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Acting Commissioner, then just to follow up, what then is the range of time period? Are we talking a week on either end, a month, 2 months on either?
I would say within a month of that time frame. And, you know, we work on that in particular when we're dealing with the Metropolitan Council. And we also always have to remember, and I haven't made a big point of it, we have a federal partner in putting together these programs and reviewing these processes and such. So.
Any further questions? Not Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, committee members, Chair Leader, and I appreciate the hard work that both the House and the Senate have put in, not only on the funding bill, but on a lot of the other policy provisions that are coming along. I think that, you know, our staffs and our members have done an exceptional job in keeping us on track and keeping us kind of focused. Just so people don't get too bent out of shape, when you look at the splits of money that are in this that Mr. McFarland was talking about, you know, if you look, there's some monies that look pretty big in the metro area, and then on the same line it looks kind of small in greater Minnesota, and then on another line there might be a big number for greater Minnesota and a smaller one for the metropolitan area, but we all know that that's just the way the formulas all work out and the money goes out. And when we look at these numbers and we look at the bridges, we have to remember that the big buck bridges are in the metropolitan area. And for us in greater Minnesota, well, we have to have an allowance for that, as long as the six township bridges in my township are safe. But we'll allow everything.
Allow
then.
Me to make a note.
Yeah. You know, overall, I think that Commissioner McFarland and Mr. Hinkle and a lot of the folks, Ms. McKenzie and Mr. Dorgan, have worked tirelessly to make Kevin Gray, well, everybody on that side of the room. Oh, except for Eric Ludine over there. But these folks have done a tremendous job with what we gave them to work with, and they did it in short order. And just on behalf of Cheerleader and myself, I just want to say thanks to the department and the 2,000-plus employees, around 2,000?
4,500.
4,500. Oh, I was not counting the 2,000 that live in Red Wing. Okay. But we just want to, in all seriousness, just say thank you. I think that this is a clear indication that we are on a new path.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
Chairman. Next, no further questions. And again, thank you, Commissioner Griffin, Senator Olsen.
I did have just one question, and that is, could we arrange another field trip down to the I-35 bridge site?
Certainly.
That was pretty interesting.
And Mr. Chairman, I would encourage that, because if you were there before, you haven't been there. Because I'll tell you, I've been there several times, and every day I go, it's like going for the first time with the speed with which that bridge is going up and the quality work being done by the contractor and the work out there. It's amazing. And now that the weather's turning nicer, once you get past whatever deadlines you have for your committees and you'd like to take a field trip, we'd love to have you.
That would be great. That's a good comment too, Senator. Thank you. And again, thank you, Commissioner, and your staff for coming. We certainly appreciate it. We expect to see you in the committees fairly often.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.